Rusty Quill presents.
Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care. If you found our show from Graham Patrick's guest writing on episode 3 of the Magnus Protocol, you might want to start with one of the campaigns he wrote on. Y'all of Cthulhu, our first ever season, is a complete horror campaign in the Old West. Next, we have Bleaker Trails, which is in the same setting. That has one complete season, and the final season is coming late in 2024. And if you're looking for something shorter and science fiction, we have a 6-episode Blade Runner series. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to see you around. Our Discord is slade.me/discord.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sonny, as you look through the case, you think you're looking at close to $50,000.
Ooh, okay. Sonny throws a quick look back over her shoulder to where the others are just to make sure that no one's coming up. And then I think that she's going to start trying to figure out where on her person she can begin to hide these stacks. Like into the bra, you know, like down the back in the waistband of the pants and stuff like that.
Okay.
As much as she can where it's not like noticeable.
That makes a dent in the quantity that's in this case, but there's still a good chunk in there.
Regretting having sliced open this case now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just real quick. I think as she's doing this and she's like very excited, there's something that tugs at the back of her mind. If I throw a look back over in the direction of where the first figure, like the silhouette was,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything out there?
You don't see anything.
Okay.
But there's one more thing I'll tell you, that as you kind of move the case, the body that's slumped on the tree kind of buckles forward a little bit, and you're able to read on the back of the leather jacket, Necros MC. And then there's a like a stylized patch of a Grim Reaper holding an 8-ball, and on the bottom it says Tucson AZ chapter.
Mick said he had a motorcycle. I wonder if he knows anything about this. If there's nothing else kind of interest, with the money hidden, a little bit of the money hidden, and the other stuff stashed away, not inconspicuously, maybe she'll play it off. I think she'll grab the gun, the pistol from the hand, and she'll make her way back over. Although, can I just look at this ironwood tree real quick? Is there anything kind of interesting about the ironwood tree?
Yeah, you can do a natural world on the tree.
Bloody hell.
Unbelievable. So that is a hard success?
Oh, yeah.
cool. Yeah, you see a bullet hole. Like, there's damage of a firefight on and around the tree. There's blood spray. I'll have this be almost like a forensic analysis, where what you're seeing here is like money is changing hands here. Something went sideways. Shots were fired. One of these things exploded. It looks like everybody was shot. But then you see a blood smear like on the reverse side of the tree as you move around. And then another little blood spatter a little further on. And these blood drops are kind of going off in the direction that you felt yourself being pulled. And so you get the sense that there was another person here who fled the scene.
Okay, attention is fully back on the money, and she's going to hustle back over to where the other people are, because now safety in numbers feels like a good idea.
Just so I'm clear, you've got some of the money on your person stashed away in like little pockets and crevices, and is the case with you, or is it back at the scene?
The way that you've asked that question, I'm going to bring the case with me. And just to be clear, there were no drugs on anybody. There was no just like loose drugs anywhere.
You said you rifled through pockets and whatnot. There was a pack of cigarettes in pockets. You found like a wallet with like a license, Rico Valdez.
Weirdly, even though she's found this bag of cash, if there's any cash in the wallet, she will also grab that.
Like $3.
Yeah, literally like $3.
Into the bra, yeah.
Amazing.
You can see like a business card from like a pool hall matchbook. That's like your cursory search. There were no other drugs.
I just want to put out there that she's not like replacing things carefully. Like as she's rifling through things, they're just like flying over shoulders. So it's very obvious if anyone were to come on the scene that like someone has looted.
Great. Okay. Cool. Meanwhile, many yards away back in Two Guns, you're walking, you said towards that house, yeah?
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. following Hazel into the house. It looks like it might be a pretty far out place to meditate.
Yeah. It's spooky, right? I said it was spooky vibes. There's a real charge here. We're going to need all the luck we can get. And she looks meaningfully at you, Eugene. And
he grabs his spoon tight.
The door of the house is completely fallen in. And if you were walking in, just like palpable dust. The glass is shattered out. Paint is hanging in ribbons from the walls and from the ceiling. It is desiccated and dry. And there is like graffiti carved into the walls and planks. You're seeing just like, fuck you. You're seeing like gas, ass, or grass. No one rides for free. This kind of stuff. And
nice.
Screw you, Nixon. All this stuff everywhere.
Yeah. I think... Phoenix is just kind of talking as Hazel leads the way, saying like, oh, I think it's so cool that you're carving your own path. You know, if you ever need like a friend to talk to or something, I've got Sky here as well. But yeah.
What's the deal with Sky? Is this like your inner child or some trip like that?
No, not a child. Sky's like my trusted friend. Like we go on these quests together. And he kind of taps on Sky's compartment on her back and says, you know, if you really want to get to know Sky, then, you know, maybe when the whole gang gets together, we can experiment.
Well, okay. I'm glad to hear that Sky's such a good friend. And she leans over and looks at Sky in the eye. I can always use a friend, Sky. Gives him a little kiss on the beak.
Phoenix subtly wipes that kiss off the beak and kind of looks into, you can kind of see into Sky's soul through those big kind of white eyes that are painted on. He just kind of whispers, it's okay. She's cool. It's okay.
And groan, you hear the planks creak as Sunny walks in, unless you're not walking in.
I will do my best to surreptitiously take the bag and stuff it in my bag in the van.
Great. So let's see if we get rolls to see if who notices this, if anyone does. Maybe that would be your stealth against everyone's spot hidden.
That's a regular success for me.
I failed. I'm not going to spend luck on that.
Yes, I have a regular success, and I'm not going to improve that role.
I'm not going to tell you what Hazel got. Phoenix, you do see something happening at the van. You don't know what precisely, but you see Sonny kind of rummaging around.
And when he notices that, he's going to look at Eugene and say, you know what? I'll let you two get to know each other a little bit. I'm going to go. I left something back in the van. Just going to check on it.
Great.
Ah, I got your drift. And he gives you a little nudge as you leave.
Yeah, don't get yourself in trouble, kid, all right?
You know me.
Right. And he just kind of walks out to the van, pats Eugene on the back.
Mick, you ripped that that jazz cigarette.
Yeah, I think in Mick's mind, he's now floating about 3 inches above the ground as he heads through the darkening desert.
Great.
Using his enhanced state of mind now in pursuit of the peyote that he knows must be out there somewhere. I wanted to use this as a way of trying to push that natural world roll that I just failed.
I think, yes, go for it. Push away.
Oh, that is not a success.
But wouldn't you know it, you do find, as you're looking over the horizon, you see like the yucca and the trees, stones. Your vision vibrates. The sky is painted its myriad colors. In your peripheral vision, you are sure that you see a white figure. And I don't mean just a white person. I mean something that looks completely unearthly pale. And as you whip around, it is no longer there. It's just like a trick of the eye. And where it was is a little bulb of cactus about the size of a little pony keg with some black purpley flowers sprouting from it.
I knew if I opened myself up, I'd be led to what I needed.
Excellent. Back at the van... Phoenix is walking up to Sunny.
Yeah.
Can I have been like transferring money from the case into my bag?
Yeah.
And you can let me know how far into that I got.
I think Phoenix catches this as it's happening. But there's enough in your bag where you've got about halfway through, I want to say.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Sunny. What? And I think kind of been noticing.
Hey, Sunny. Is going to try to cut her losses here, and she's got stuff stuffed away, and so she'll be like, Phoenix, I found this bag. It has some money in it. It has a little bit of money in it.
Whoa.
She'll show him just the, like, the case and try to, like, stand in front of her, the bag that she was stuffing the other money into.
Great.
Where'd you find it? You know how I feel about money, Sonny.
I know. It's such a, you don't believe in it on the long list of things that you don't believe in.
Yeah.
But it was just like out in the world. So, you know, it's like, I feel like it was meant for us.
You think it's like a destiny thing?
What else could it be? It was just there.
Just like in the middle of the desert or what? Show me where you found it. Maybe there's more stuff over there. We can like dig around, you know, have an adventure.
It was out there. It was just over there. It was out there.
What are those plumes of smoke out there? No. I think I'm going to look at that bag and see that it's been cut open and just kind of pull that part of the bag toward me to see what we're looking at here.
And to cover her tracks further, I think Sliding will be like, you know, I was going to stash this under mixed drums because we don't know Hazel yet. And I wasn't sure like what her deal is. And so I just wanted, it's like, we can split it among us, you know?
That's awesome. That sounds like fast talk.
Could have just kept my mouth shut. Could have just, but no. Okay, well.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
That is an extreme success.
You've prayed to the roll 20 gods today, didn't you?
This is Fena Vindication is what this is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think since it's a 5, it's almost like, shit, someone cut this bag open too. It's a weird situation, but I mean.
So weird.
You found it, right? It's like, you know how I am finders keepers when I find glass bottles and...
It's the same thing.
To someone like you, it's like, you know, that's like finding money.
Exactly.
we all have our own treasures, right? Right, Sky? He kind of, like, eerily holds Sky in front of you.
And Sunny, as she always does, will kind of, like, look at Sky and then immediately just, like, turn back to you. Anyway, so we could fix up the van. Maybe we could get Mick some nicer drums, you know? And
no, Sunny.
I don't know what Eugene likes, like.
Sunny, I know it's hard for you to understand, but I do not want your money. You're on your own path, you know what I say. Like, you know, maybe it's predestined. Maybe you're kind of making the path. It's all, you know, we're all on our little magical journey just trying to figure out how are we going to discover ourselves. And maybe for you, it's money. I'm not going to begrudge you of that, but for me, it's not. So I don't want you to fix up Johnny's van, and I don't want any of your money. But if Mick wants to buy, like, he probably wants to buy weed, but if he wants to fix up his drums or something, then that's cool with me.
This is to help us all make our dreams come true.
Except for me. I don't want it.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, and Eugene, be careful giving Eugene money. You know, the kind of shit he likes to buy. We can't fit any more pornography into this van.
Speaking of Eugene, Hazel is like kind of humming a tune and sort of like dancing in place in this, in the almost the living room of this abandoned house. Just like, crippled and crying. And if you move around in here, again, you see all the graffiti and everything. Is there anything you're looking for in particular? Or?
I think so that he's just not staring nonstop, he's trying to like feign that he's looking through drawers and stuff, but really all of his attention is on Hazel. But in doing so, he's like opening up any kind of drawers, anything he can.
And there is like a cabinet kind of like with a couple of drawers missing. And yeah, why don't you make a spot hidden?
That's a regular success.
This is a place bikers have been. There's like, you're just seeing like cigarette butts and,
gross.
Like you open a drawer and like a bottle of, Bush, like rolls forward. But you notice that behind it, there's a crack in the wall where the wallpaper is like falling off. And there's a little crack and you see something colorful in this crack. It looks like someone has pushed into the wall itself.
Oh, what do we have here? He pulls it out.
You reach down and pull it out, and it's tightly rolled up piece of paper. And as it kind of like falls open into your hand, parts of it kind of like just fall apart. This is clearly really old.
Ooh.
And you get the sense that like kind of doing the math in your head, that this looks like it's from when this was a active house. This looks like maybe from the 50s or so, 25 years ago. And
cool.
Like a little book falls out and like flops onto the floor. The cover's ripped off. Clearly pages are missing. And then what it was surrounding it is a bunch of pieces of cardboard paper crudely stapled together. And it looks like it's been done by a little kid. It looks like the child of the house hid this, had like a little hidey hole here. Like this might have been their room.
Hmm.
Hazel, look at this. Look at this. He's going to like get all really close, like brush up against Hazel's shoulder there and show her the book. Look at this. Isn't this cool? I'm going to flip it open.
Whoa. You flip it open and you're looking at just, there's a drawing of like a crude crayon drawing of like a big tree and a sun with a big smiley face. And you turn the page and the next page is ripped out. But the page behind it is halfway ripped. And all you can see is like the second half of a bunch of writing. And it just says, no such thing as ghosts. You turn the page again. And there's a picture of a white dog. And you turn the page again. And it just says, Owl Man.
Oh, snap.
You turn the page again. And you see a picture of a crude, like, crayon held in fist drawing of a crying face. Page ripped out. Comes at night. Page ripped out. Wanna go. Page ripped out. A picture of a small boy, and in the window of the room that the boy has depicted, there is a large white face grinning through the window. Why don't you just, like, roll sanity?
Yeah.
Why don't you just for shits and giggles?
There we go.
Wow.
That's an 8.
Roll 20 is, yeah.
on fire.
It's just a little book. It's fine. You don't even take anything. Kids have active imaginations.
Wow. Yeah. What a creative kid. This is probably belongs in a museum, though.
I told you there were creepy vibes. Yeah.
Wait, what kind of energy does this book have?
It's like some people, the square world is on a juice trip, right? Uh-huh. They're trying to drink it all away so that they'll be blind. But if we close our minds off to what's like spooky, then we miss everything, Eugene, right?
Yeah.
So you got to open up your mind to it all.
I want to open up my mind.
Yeah. Do you want to open up, Gene?
Uh-huh.
Would that be a good point for Mick to come back with a handful of peyote?
Yes, Mick comes back and maybe with maybe a few little pods and buttons that you've plucked off of this cactus that you found.
Yeah. Did someone say they wanted to open up their mind?
Excellent. So maybe at this point our friends Sunny and Phoenix are coming back, and the sun is setting. It is beautiful, and the temperature is dropping like it does in the desert, from being scorching hot to like actually a little nippy in the air. And Hazel's looking kind of sad, like hoping that someone will give her a jacket to throw over her shoulders. And
Eugene immediately takes off his blazer and gives that to her.
Great.
He puts it on with a little like awkward pat, and he's like, oh, why did I do that?
Sunny and Phoenix, are you telling your friends anything about what it is you have?
Regardless of what Phoenix wants to do, Sunny has like hidden the bag now, basically like under mixed drums or something. And, you know, has instructed Phoenix to just don't say anything until the four of us can kind of get alone again, okay? Just don't say anything.
You know, Sunny, you say the four of us, but I think Hazel's really cool. Like,
can we just get to know her a little before we split all this money with her?
Well, we all just met on, like, a cosmic scale. But maybe, like, she could be, like, a mentor to you, right?
A stony stare. Just...
And then I think he's going to pick up on the stair and he's going to go back and get these very patterned blankets that they have in the van when he realizes it's cold.
Hazel wants to come with you.
Oh, okay. yeah, so we've kind of like walked in toward the house, but then yeah. He's heading back to the van.
That's right.
He's not going to stop anybody from following him back to the van.
Great. Helping Sunny pack?
Helping her pack? What do you mean? Just going back to get some blankets, you know, like it's getting a little chilly out here. Thought maybe.
Oh, yeah. Gene was nice enough to give me his jacket, but every little bit helps. Are you ready to party tonight?
Oh, yeah. We're always ready to party. I think we might even do like a drum circle. Mick's got this really cool ritual he does that, you know, he's not always up for it. It depends what his energy feels like. But yeah, I think tonight's going to be amazing. Like,
oh, my God. If we make two guns ring with the sound of drums again. Oh, wow. Oh, it's like a musical ritual trip. We're going to really lock into the energy here at Phoenix.
He's fond of Hazel. He's going to pull Sky close to Hazel and kind of lift up the back just to give her a little preview. And inside, he's got a bunch of little square pieces of paper in there with, blotter paper. And it's got... clown faces. It's like the bored apes of clowns, basically, depicted on these squares.
You got clown face stuff. Okay, great. So so that has all happened. Are we all indulging?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think Mick will just say to the others as we're gathered around the fire, the desert has given us a gift today, and it would be churlish of us not to accept it.
Yeah.
Oh, groovy, man. Something new?
Oh, I think it's something very old.
Nice. Yeah, you know I'm down. And I feel like we're safe because we're all together, right? We're basically a family. You too, Hazel. I think we, you know, we're like kin in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking hate my family.
Yeah.
Join the club. I mean, I'm in the club. That's what I meant.
Well, that's society, right, man? You're born into this world without asking. and they try to put a roll on you right away. But if you key into your energy, you can be anything you want to be, manifest anything for yourself. And family is just the people that you choose. So yeah.
I love that, yeah.
Let's find ourselves, right? Every day is an opportunity. Buy the ticket, take the ride.
Eugene, are you actually going to partake this time?
I mean, if Hazel's going to, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Jean. And she puts a little button of this cactus thing in her mouth, and she leans forward and gives it to you as a kiss.
Oh, he is in. Yeah, he leans forward and, like, closes his eyes and then, like, opens them last minute. Yes.
Phoenix and Sky are going to do the mouth-to-mouth exchange as well.
Excellent.
Excuse me?
Are you cocktailing? Are you doing a clown tab and this?
Oh, yes. The clown tab was first, but then he's going to, you know, sit back and let that set in a bit before going into the cactus.
Sweet. So I just imagine everybody sitting in a circle, maybe even just to start, like, as you start to feel like the prickle on the back of your neck. And yeah, Hazel's looking at Eugene and just like smiling pacifically. It's like the colors, right? The colors of the sunset. Oh, and now we'll see the colors of the dark.
I should probably warn everyone, this stuff does tend to make you puke.
Puke, puke, puke. Everybody roll. Why don't we all roll, just everybody give a constitution and then a power.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Oh, wow. 0-3 on the con roll.
Oh, great.
And a hard success on the power roll.
Hard success on the con and...
Excellent.
Ooh, cup. And a hard success on the power.
Sunny is on fire.
Roll 20 is being too nice.
He's going to fuck us later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I passed con and got extreme on power.
Damn, everybody is crushing it.
Eugene failed con.
Of course.
That sounds right.
Perfect, of course right? He did. Yeah, like.
And succeeded on power by 1 point.
Oh.
Great. You feel this come on. And it begins as like a, Mick, you would feel it like, it's like a speedy rush. You can feel your blood pumping. You feel your eyes dilating and taking in more light. Anything you begin to focus on just wobbles for a second. It feels for a second like you might get nauseous, but you get on top of it and like, it's okay. It's okay. Your stomach is settled. That's everyone feels that way, except for Eugene and all. And suddenly like barbecue chips are coming up.
try not to vomit in the fire.
And you all passed these power rolls. Let's do it this way. You're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's daytime. It's nighttime. It's daytime. That figure that you saw off in the distance, Sunny, even though it's like thousands of feet from you, miles away from you, you see its eyes as if it's right up close, and then it's gone. You can ask a question, Sunny. What question do you ask this trip?
Because Hazel's there, and Hazel's kind of like stolen focus, which is a sin in her mind, from away from Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she's going to ask, how do I get the others back? And her intention, I think, is, again, control.
Great. And here's how the answer comes to you. You're just seeing the graffiti of this room swirling around you. The background seems to move and oscillate, and there, stock still in the center of all this movement, is the impassive face of Hazel looking at you. And you can tell that she knows about the money. You can tell that she knows, and she's going to turn them all against you, and you have to get rid of her. That's the only way. You have to get rid of her. And she knows something she's not telling you. And Eugene, you can ask a question of this trip.
Where am I meant to be?
And you see, like, your dad guiding every choice that you've made, riding you really hard to be good in school, yelling at you when you got a B plus instead of an A. You saw yourself winning salutatorian and him being disappointed because it wasn't valedictorian. And you're moving through college, excelling, always feeling his presence. Suddenly, it's all in the language of mathematics and chess, and you see geographic forms spiraling and unraveling in front of you, and you realize that there is a way to freedom. There is a closest distance between two points. You're supposed to be using your intellect for freedom, for yourself, to actualize what it is you want. And it's hard to know what to do when you don't know what it is that you want. And you've been looking for your dad's approval and you realize you don't even want that. There's something coalescing in front of you and you just suddenly, like, as banal and pedestrian as it seems, you're looking into a really domestic scene of someone holding a child, and it's a child that you're nurturing and you're caring in a way that your dad never did. And the mother looks at you and smiles with so much love in her eyes, and it's Hazel. And then Phoenix, what's the question you want to ask this trip?
Yes.
So Phoenix has been on many trips before, but he's never asked this question. So he's going to say, what do you think the aliens want from us?
That is very interesting. Great.
And remember, he's an ex-pilot, so he's seen lights that he can't explain.
Right. You're in the sky. You're in the clouds. You see the curvature of the earth below you. And as you watch it, the curvature shifts and changes. Everything bends up. And you realize you're not looking down at the convex surface of the earth. You're looking up at the concave surface of a enormous earth-sized sphere, and you're somehow inside the earth. There's a presence in front of you. It is white. It's regarding you with senses that are not sight or sound. It's some other sense that it's looking in quotes through you. And what the aliens want is to turn you into a door.
Oh man.
And your blood is calling to them. And they want to speak to you in the language of blood and stone.
This is so different than what he thought his purpose was. Can I roll sanity?
Yes, absolutely you can. Because it ain't over, man. And Nick, what question are you asking?
Nick's question is actually a little similar to Phoenix's. That voice I've started hearing whenever I'm tripping, is it just my imagination? Is it another part of myself trying to tell me something? Or is it really coming from outside?
And you hear a voice murmuring in a language you don't understand. You're not in the house anymore. You're back out in the desert. You feel almost compelled to, like, dig, because the voice is emanating from inside the earth. If there's something coming from the stones from beneath you, there's something about, like, the way up is down, the way out is through, and your purpose is to be a gateway. Your purpose is to be a door, a passageway, deeper. and the voice telling you this is not speaking to you in any human language, and in your peripheral vision, the voice seems to be coming from a white figure. Sunny, also, as you see this truth about Hazel silhouetted in the night sky as the stars wheel above you, is a white owl looking at you. And Eugene, as all these, like, geometric forms coalesce, you can see, like, a white shape beginning to kind of, like, emerge and build itself in geometric fractalizing patterns as you fall into its eye again and again. And each time you do, the eye gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and you realize that your eyes are useless. You don't need them. You can perceive in 1,000 different ways. You should carve your eyes out. They're useless. And all of you should roll sanity.
Eugene wasn't ready for the cactus.
Yeah.
You should have started with weed.
Ooh, I failed by one.
Success.
I passed. I think for Phoenix, he's really just judging the quality of the drugs based on the vision, not necessarily believing the vision at this point.
Okay.
I rolled a 2. So damn. Sunny's real good on this get rid of Hazel plan. She's super focused.
It's already the plan.
I love the idea that if you pass the sand roll, you've got the clarity of mind that you want to kill Hazel. If you fail the sand roll, you'd be so insane that you want to kill Hazel.
Everyone who passed the sanity roll just takes 1. Everyone who failed the sanity roll takes 4.
I think Phoenix is just going to ask Mick for another hit of that. He wants to see if he can make the image even more vivid. He wants to travel back to ancient civilizations in this concave version of the Earth.
Because you flipped. You did more than 1.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
I just want you to see a tunnel, Phoenix. Like, as you are going deep, you're simultaneously underground. You're in some sort of, like, pyloric, peristalting innard. It feels as though you're in some sort of beast. And you also feel as though you're in yourself and outside. You're in some way moving through yourself because you are a passageway. And as you move through, you realize that, yes, you have to go down to go out. You have to go down to go up. You must descend to ascend. We are full of paradoxes, and you are a paradox. And as you go down, you emerge into a space that is, you look up, and you see, much like certain spoons you may have seen, constellations that are entirely unfamiliar. These are not the stars of your world. And there are edifices all around you of impossible size. And you walk into one and you have the eerie sensation of being agoraphobic and claustrophobic at the same time. Because these pillars in this building seem to rise up to a vanishing point and recede past the point where you can even see them. And the idea of the size of the thing that made this, the cyclopean dimensions of it, fill you with such awe and dread that... But you realize that this is the gate. This is where it leads. Somewhere as, like, horribly beautiful as this. Where you have the significance of a bacteria on the back of an ant. And, like...
Yeah, I'm going to roll San again.
Yep.
Just because, like... And I think he's feeling like... He's wondering, like, is this some kind of, like, opposite reaction or yin and yang to his life as a pilot? Now it's this subterranean vision. Like, he's been trying to make amends for his military service by pursuing this life of peace. But he's wondering, like, is this some kind of punishment kind of taking me out of that element and putting me into the exact opposite, the suffering of the war machine that he was once part of?
And per that, like, yes, please take that sanity.
Oh, boy, I fumbled that one because I just went under 50 with my 1 point loss.
That's what we like to hear. So that means you maybe take max loss. That gets you 5 sanity loss.
Okay.
So let's roll an intelligence roll.
Yes. Oh, I have good intelligence, too. So this could be exciting. All right. Let's see. And I rolled a 22.
Okay. Okay. Great. As you are suddenly like... going back out of this tunnel. You're out of this tunnel, flying back like that war machine that you evoked. You're smelling gun smoke and fire, and you're hearing screams, and these screams are not in a language you understand, and you're in a tight, enclosed, cavernous space, and your lungs are filling with smoke, and it's no, you have to get out, and there's no way out. You can't go out the way you came. You have to go deeper. This is horrifying. You are choking in and drowning in midair in this tight space, also retching up what was in your stomach as you shake off this vision. You have a burrowing instinct. You want to go deep. You got to go deeper. It's not safe out here. You've been in such a huge space. You've got to go. You've got to warren. You've got to be in the way that, like, a dachshund wants to be in tight spaces all the time. That's what you need to do.
I think almost like with a vacant stare, Phoenix is going to stand up from the circle and just go get some implement to dig with from out of the van.
Nice. Wow. It comes at night. The Owl Man.
At the end of it, Mick just sits bolt upright, jumps to his feet, looks around wildly, and says, "We gotta go to the cave!" And then just passes out.
Yes. And maybe when you hear that, Phoenix, you're like, yes, a cave.
Yeah, I think he's in the middle of like digging a hole with a hand trowel and mm-hmm. didn't consider a cave. But but that's gonna resonate with him.
Eugene, because you passed that sand, I'm going to say that maybe what's caught your eye is that little book that fell out of that crevice in the wall. You've got the children's drawings, which now as you look at them appear to oscillate and tessellate. But you look at that book and it's an old dusty like history book for boys, like Tales of the Rip-Roaring West and Tales of like Butch Cassidy and like heroics of the Mexican War, like a extremely biased American accounts of Southwestern history. And you come upon a tale in the middle of this book that is dog-eared, where it talks about the legend at the top of the page is Death Cave. It describes an incident in the 1800s where during a conflict between the Apache and the Navajo, like a group of Navajo were trapped in a cave. The Apache built a fire at the mouth and all of the Navajo that they trapped inside were suffocated. And since that time, that is where the cave has been known as the Death Cave, and that the area around it was cursed in the folklore of the era and of the people.
Whoa, 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 whoa. He just repeats "whoa" for about 3 minutes.
It's morning, but the sun isn't up yet. Can everybody roll a spot hidden?
Wow.
Fail for Eugene.
I rolled a 6. I have an extreme success.
Fail for Sunny.
Yes, that's a hard success.
Mick, you're the first to notice that Hazel is gone.
She'd probably just gone out for a piss. Maybe I should check.
I hope she didn't fall into the hole I dug last night. But the hole was only like a foot deep in reality. He feels like he dug this massive hole.
Oh, fuck. What have you done now? Trying to shake his head clear, gets up and staggers barely upright out of the door looking for Hazel.
Wait, where did my wife go?
He'll tag along. Phoenix will tag along.
When Sunny realizes that Hazel's gone, she's going to run to the van.
The case is gone.
God! Like, slams the door of the van, just like kicks the ground. Fuck!
Whoa, Sunny, whoa, whoa. Treat the van with respect. This van is our vessel to, like, find ourselves, you know? We got to take care of it. We got to take care of it, that's all.
I'm sorry, Phoenix, but I think that Hazel took something of mine.
Well, she wouldn't do that.
Eugene, you're so sweet. But I think you might be blinded by your dick right now, so why don't you just shut up? I had a thing, and now it's not here, and also Hazel's not here. So, you know, ipso facto post whatever Latin shit, she took my stuff.
Whoa, whoa, kids, come on. We're family. We can't be fighting like this.
Sunny. Where the hell would she have gone? She didn't take the van. We're miles from anywhere. You think she's, what, just walked off into the desert with your shit?
There is a motorcycle out there, okay? And maybe she took the motorcycle.
There's a motorcycle? Where?
It's over by that tree.
Oh, let's see if it's still there.
And Ari, the van, some of the wiring is now tumbling out of the steering column.
No.
And it looks as though someone unsuccessfully tried to hotwire this last night.
Do you see? Do you see now, everybody?
Phoenix is going to look down to the keys, which are still in the ignition, and say,
okay, strange verisimilitude. Okay.
You know, Sonny, I don't think Hazel's the right mentor for you on second thought.
Thanks, Phoenix. Clearly. I appreciate that.
Everybody's tripping balls, okay? They're not making the most rational choices.
Yeah, Mick's going to go looking for that motorcycle.
Great.
Eugene, give me a hand. We got to fix this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you know that we don't actually need our eyes?
Oh, man.
Did you know
nice, that? Nice, man. That shit must have hit you harder than it hit me. You're right when you really think about it and kind of get deep with our purpose here. That's a good metaphor, Eugene. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People can roll psychology too if they want, like, to understand maybe what the hell is happening here.
Sure.
Well, that's a fumble.
There's no way that Hazel would have gone off. She's like, you had a thing going. Like, something must have happened to her. Like, someone did this to her, probably.
Yeah, I think Hazel's in trouble. We're destined to meet her. Remember, you talked about destiny yesterday, and we're destined, me and her, to have a child and have a life together. So we have to go find her. Just trust me on this. I saw it.
I failed, but I would like to push the roll.
Please do.
By dropping acid to get
love it.
Better insight.
Yes.
Okay.
Drop that fast acting acid too.
While I work on the van.
I love that acid is like your spinach.
But yeah, keep in mind, this may take some time, so I don't know exactly when.
Yeah, 45 minutes to an hour to kick in usually.
Sunny Pat, are you going to regular success?
Okay,
you did. Great.
Sometime later, with a six, Phoenix does have an insight.
So I think, yeah, as you all are pacing around, like, what the hell? Like, looking around, maybe even looking for footprints. Where the hell would she have gone? Time passes, and Phoenix is this, as you're rolling your come down back up into another trip, is like your brain stem is getting fried by this stuff again. You have an insight that, like, oh, yeah, she'd go to the safest place. Like, she probably, like you, knows that the safest place is down. You gotta go down.
Yeah. I think I saw, like, these cave paintings. Yeah, yeah.
And it's right about that time, because you've been lingering here, that off in the distance you hear motorcycle engines revving in the distance.
Plural?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Oh my.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Thank you for listening to Ain't Slayed Nobody. For ad-free episodes, lots of bonus content, and special programming, please join our Wolf Pack at patreon.com/aintslayed or subscribe to Ain't Slayed Nobody Plus at Apple Podcasts. Nothing helps the show more than becoming a subscriber. See our show notes for full credits and help us grow by posting friendly reviews and spreading the word to your friends and followers. Thank you, and good luck out there.